All the discussions about medical insurance in the last 8 years have tended to focus on the insurance. Under law at the moment, everyone is supposed to have health insurance. The big question is, who pays for it? In that equation, there's no discussion of different financial arrangements between doctor and patient. And just as medical practice can be quite innovative, there are some wrinkles on how to pay for and use medical services. Direct primary care, or DPC, is already in use in a number of places. In a sense, patients pay a retainer to cover a specified period of care. Let's hear how it works from two practices up and running in our region. Dr. Philip Olshausen is a physician doing practice in Medford. He's an internal medicine specialist, and he's here in the studio with me. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Olshausen.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And we have with us from a different practice in Reading, the office manager for Dr. Jill Friesen is Mary Brace. Mary, thank you for joining us by phone today.
Thank you.
So let's start with you, Dr. Olshausen. You had been practicing, I guess, for about 10 years and then went DPC, I guess, just 2 months ago?
That is correct. I've been in the traditional insurance model of practice for, 10 years, and decided about a year ago that things needed to change. I would describe DPC, or direct primary care, as a breath of fresh air, both to doctors and patients, when it comes to how you deliver and how you receive, especially primary care.
And so how does it change anything that you do as a physician?
Well, let me rewind a little bit. In the traditional model, really what we find as doctors, providers, is that 50% or more of our time or our overhead are spent on administrative things that are basically imposed on us to some degree by the rules and regulations from government, Medicare, CMS, insurance companies. And that unfortunately takes away time from spending time with patients, which is really why we all went to medical school and went into our training. So DPC gives us all that time back to spend 30 to 60 minutes with a patient at a visit, as opposed to the unfortunate traditional 10-minute average that's become the norm.
So, Mary Brace, if you can, walk us through this. When somebody comes into a DPC practice, I mean, how different is the arrangement financially and in what people get for their money?
You know, I think every practice works slightly different, but in our practice, there's a flat monthly fee, or you can pay by the year at a discount. And so then we oftentimes have the patients coming in, and they expect something on the way out. You know, that normal you stop at the little desk on your way out the door to pay your copay or what have you. And there's none of that because everything is included. There's no billing. Every single thing we could do in the office is included in that monthly or annual fee. Everything that Dr. Jill orders, and probably Dr. Phil as well, will bill to their insurance that's what's outside the office. So labs, imaging, referrals to a specialist, all that bills to their insurance like they're used to.
Okay, so if it happens within the office walls, that's covered by the flat fee, but anything outside the office walls is going to be a different set of charges.
Exactly.
And so what are the, I mean, this sounds basically like paying a cable bill or the basic charge on your phone bill or something, that there's an expected amount you're going to pay every month.
That's right. It's like a gym membership, right? And so then it doesn't matter really whether you come or not. You pay the same flat monthly fee, but the reality is you have access to it whenever you need it. And so our office offers same and next day appointments for acute visits, and even a chronic condition or something that's been going on for a while is still going to get in within the week or two.
Okay, so it changes the wait times as well?
Oh, definitely, because our practice, at least, and I'm sure Dr. Philip as well, we're much smaller than a traditional office. A traditional office that's taking insurance is seeing, 2,500 to 3,000 people on their patient panel, and we're right now at about 650.
All right, 650 patients. So Dr. Philip Olshausen, give us a sense of the size of the practice then, I mean, and how this might differ from what you've done previously in your career.
Like Mary said, it's definitely a smaller practice in general, the DPC practice, which is kind of the point, because handling a patient panel of 2,000 plus minus patients is very difficult, to say the least. I just started, so I'm currently at about 350, and I'm not quite sure yet where the end number is going to be, but it makes the whole thing much more manageable. It makes for a more personalized experience, which is great.
And so what's the general range of monthly fees? I mean, is it geared in any way to either income or age or anything like that?
Well, again, the nice thing, and Mary alluded to this, if you've seen one DPC practice, you've seen one DPC practice. So there really is some individuality, even though the model overall is very similar. So I have read that the average fee is somewhere between $60 and $80 a month across the nation. At my office, personally, it's $75 a month, and that's across the board. But I also know that a lot of practices do an age-tiered fee structure. And so that really depends on what your population is and how you think it would work best for you.
All right. When you say, go ahead, Mary.
Ours is age-based. So it's, you can see it all on our website, but it's basically like 18 to 44 is $65, and then 45 to 54 is $75, and it caps at 65 years old is $95 a month. And then we have the flexibility to offer discounts. Right now we're doing a couples discount, so you get, you know, 25% off if you both join. You get an annual discount if you pay by the year, you get 10% off. Kids are only $15 a month, you know. So
we are talking about direct primary care, or DPC, with Mary Brace. She's the office manager for Dr. Jill Friesen in Reading. Dr. Philip Olshausen is a Medford physician in practice in a DPC practice for about 2 months now. You can join the conversation on the exchange. You might have many questions about how direct primary care works. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You meant that when you've seen one DPC practice, you've seen one DPC practice. You have not seen them all. Is that right, Dr. Philip?
Well, it's true, because the nice thing about DPC is you suddenly get your individuality back. You can kind of do things how you want to do things because you don't have to sort of play the game of the insurance contracts. And so while, again, the skeleton is probably very similar, different physicians, different providers might offer different services that are included, et cetera, and never mind that the pricing fee is different from practice to practice. Another thing that's great, this is obviously a wonderful model for individuals, families, and there are often these discounts that Mary mentioned. It's also a wonderful model for small employer groups. Mm-hmm. They struggle to provide good health insurance or health benefits, if there is such a thing still left, to their employees, especially if they only have, let's say, 5 to 50 of those employees. And at my practice, I do offer an additional discount if an employer signs up their group of 5+, and it goes down to $60 a month. And, of course, offering your employees and saying, here, you've got primary care taken care of, no copays, no deductibles, is amazing. And then they can decide on their own whether they still want to purchase a catastrophic health insurance plan on the side to protect themselves.
Which leads us right into the insurance part of things. And so, Mary Brace, can you explain how does direct primary care not accept insurance, or does it deal with insurance somehow?
Here's the way that I explain that. Insurance companies don't see direct primary care as being a reimbursable expense. Because like I said about, you can come in as many times as you need to, but you might come in, you know, for your first appointment and sit down with Dr. Jill for an hour and a half. She does a comprehensive health history and an exam and builds relationship with you. The next month, you might have results of a lab that we offer text and email access directly with your provider. And so let's say your lab results come back and they're fine. She might email you those and just give you some recommendations over email, so that, and then you have a copy of it for your own records. The next month, you might not come in at all, and then the next month, you might come in to have a skin tag frozen off. Well, that month where she emails you and the month where you don't come in at all, there's, you know, insurance doesn't see that as something that's reimbursable. There's no CPT code for an email. So insurance just says the whole thing is not reimbursable by at all.
Wow. So even if you make the yearly, it doesn't matter how it's paid, monthly, yearly, quarterly, whatever, insurance just doesn't acknowledge that as a payment for an actual medical service?
Right. And because the flip side of that is for our offices, and I'm sure Dr. Philip has the same scenario, it's me, a nurse, and the doctor right now. And we're growing, we're adding a couple more staff, but we don't have a biller. We don't have a coder. So we don't even do that. We don't get into all of that nonsense about all of the codes and CPT codes and everything that needs to be done for something to be reimbursable, because we don't deal with that with insurance companies at all. So by eliminating that work, we're reducing our overhead by a lot, because we as staff are focused on the care of the patient, right? Our time is focused on calling to make sure folks get into a referral to see a specialist, and that we actually get the notes back for the doctor to review, rather than chasing down what code is going to reimburse, you know, the best, because we don't care.
Well, I had a question for you about how different a set of office practices, and it sounds like the answer is radically different.
Oh, yes, radically different. I mean, our whole focus is about treating our patients really, quite frankly, more like customers. So as a patient, it's a completely different experience because we want to make sure that people are having a good experience because we see this as a choice, right? And so folks can come in here and we're friendly, we know their name, rather than a lot of times I think you go into a traditional office and they're like, you know, hi, sit. You know, there's no, like, they don't really care whether you're happy or not. Like, we want you to be happy. We want this to be a relationship. We want this to work well for you. We're in this together. We see this as something, a dialogue that we're doing together. We want to do what's best for you as a patient and for us as a business, right? A lot of times, because we can text and email our providers, we can have someone call in for a refill. That's probably the most dramatic difference from a traditional system that's billing insurance is you need a refill, you just send us a text. We don't force you to come in and get exposed to who knows what else was in the office that day just so we can bill your insurance to get paid.
We are talking about direct primary care here on the Jefferson Exchange. Mary Brace is the office manager for Dr. Jill Friesen in Reading. We're also talking to Dr. Philip Olshausen, who runs a DPC practice in Medford. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Given how different this is, though, from the way medical practices are normally done, Dr. Olshausen, was this a bit of a leap of faith to get into a DPC practice?
Oh, it absolutely was. It's a huge change. You get kind of cozy, even if you don't like all the things and how they work in the traditional model. But for me, it became just frustrating to spend so much time on things that I didn't really want to do and that didn't do my patients or me any good, but that were just about, you know, somehow trying to get paid. And so I thought about it, obviously, for a long time and did my research and went to a wonderful summit about direct primary care in Kansas City a year ago. And it was a very interesting experience of having that very closely tied with a meeting with an insurance coder who specializes in nothing else but all these ridiculous codes that they put in. So the contrast was so stark that I said, wow, I have got to make this switch. So then it got to planning because, obviously, you kind of have to create your own business, which is a whole nother, you know, area that most doctors are not that familiar with. But for me, there was really no other way. And I've seen the light, and it's been a wonderful experience even just in these 2 months. It's the little things that count so much. You know, people just kind of walk in. There's not that sort of cold front desk scenario. They sit in your little cozy waiting room. You come get them yourself. I only have a part-time employee at this point. You sit down.
Part-time employee?
Yes, right. Wow. Now. Mm-hmm. You chat with them. Sure, about their medical issues, but you actually have time to chat for an additional 10 minutes about their life and what's going on and what's happening, and that allows you to get to know those patients. And it's those little things that count. And like Mary mentioned, the ability to just text on the weekend, text me a picture of the rash that's kind of freaking you out, and I will quickly get back to you and say, you know, not a problem, calm down, we'll do this real quick. Those are huge deals, and even if people are out traveling, they can quickly give me a call, email me, or text me, and I can try to help them out as best I can, as long as it's, you know, medically appropriate.
But now, if you're going to be a patient for a direct primary care practice, you need to have some money that is freed up, available for use, that does not involve medical insurance, which raises a question that Mike, I think it's Mike in Medford, writes in. He says, this medical doctor setup sounds great if you're rich, but in my household, it would be another $240 plus gym membership. I mean, seriously, this benefits only the upper percent of our society.
Well, I would argue against that, although I can never really, you know each person's individual financial budget. But the fees that we mentioned, the average fees in direct primary care, are actually relatively low and usually much less than your average cable TV bill, for example, or even cell phone bill. So everybody, of course, has to look at their finances, but most of my patients have some form of insurance, whether it's Medicare, whether it's a commercial insurance, and then, of course, I have a few without any insurance. And it's really about the value that you're looking for, and that's where Mary made it a good definition of it's a choice. If you value a doctor that works for you, which is my bottom line, mm-hmm. then I think it's very much worth it. Because in the other model, the doctor works for the insurance company. I know that sounds horrible and pathetic, but it's true. And so you have to look at that and say, wow, I have a doctor that's always available to me directly. I don't have to talk to 2, 3, 4 staff members. I can talk to him or her directly. There's the convenience of getting in touch with them quickly. And one thing we haven't actually mentioned is there's the ability, at least in my practice, I dispense generic medications at wholesale cost. What does this mean? your average blood pressure medication, $1.70 for 3 months, and other examples.
$1.70 for 3 months?
That's just one example that comes to mind. But, I mean, we're talking 50 to 90% discounts, even sometimes on copays that people might have on medications through their insurance. Mm-hmm. And then another thing are labs. I have entered into a client billing arrangement with a big nationwide lab, and again, because the lab doesn't have to bill insurance and it all is a direct relationship, the costs are 70 to 90% less than paying out of pocket for your labs because you have a high deductible or because you have no insurance. So Okay. Those are all things to consider when you make the decision for yourself.
So Mary Brace, I want you to weigh in on that too, though, the idea Yeah. That it's a boutique thing, a DPC.
Well, so the other thing I might add to what Dr. Philip was talking about is you have to consider that there's no copays or coinsurance. Right? And so almost all plans right now have some sort of copay for any office visit. And so what I think we've trained ourselves to think is, okay, I've got that rash. Is it bad enough for me to spend 20, 30, whatever my copay is to go in and get it checked out? Or can I get it checked out now and it turns out I have shingles and I start taking medicine and it stops from getting so bad that I'm off work for weeks? Does that make sense? Like, it's about having access to our healthcare right when it's an issue. It changes the whole way that I, as a patient, think about my own healthcare, because there's this pulled muscle, and I'm like, you know, normally you might be like, do I have the money for that copay? Do I want to take the time to take hours off of work, or do I want to just text the doctor and see if I can get into PT? You know, it's like, it's a whole different approach, especially as our population is aging and you've got, you know, our parents that are, you know, maybe have with all this smoke and you're having some breathing concerns. And do you really want to wait for a cough to turn into pneumonia before you go see the doctor versus knowing that it's paid for? It's, quote, you know, in your mind, it's almost like it's free, it's taken care of, and I know I can get in and get out quickly in the next day or two. It's just a different approach to where we want to be preventative and have access to our doctor rather than spending the money when it's a crisis and how much more is it going to cost us. You know, how much more is it going to cost us if we wait for that little MRSA infection to get out of control and we're in the emergency room and it's a whole big deal versus just getting it dealt with early?
Let's talk about the emergency sort of situation. Mary Brace is the office manager for Dr. Jill Friesen. Dr. Philip Olshausen's in the studio. We're talking about direct primary care. If a patient of yours has to go to the hospital then, I mean, that's well outside the bounds of what goes on with the DPC arrangement, correct?
That is correct. And this is, I think, where it's important to mention about insurance again. I mean, insurance has a role. Let's not, you know, be wrong about that. Insurance is coverage. And if something catastrophic, big happens where you have to go to the hospital or you end up in the hospital against your choice, that's where that kicks in. And I do, whenever possible, try to counsel my patients on, hey, you know, insurance is still important for those big things. Insurance, however, does not give you care. It just gives you coverage, and that's the big difference. But for those catastrophic occurrences, of course, having some form of insurance, even if it's a high deductible catastrophic plan, is helpful and crucial.
Do you have hospital admitting privileges through your DPC practice?
I personally don't. I never had, even in my traditional practice, and I think that's becoming less and less common anyway. But that's obviously different depending on which town you're in and stuff like that. But
Yeah. But
in DPC, I suddenly have the time to actually visit my patients, even if it's just a social courtesy visit if they end up in the hospital, and actually spend some time on the phone or in person with the hospitalist taking care of them to make sure they get the best care, as opposed to, oh, they're in the hospital and I'll see them in 2 weeks. So there's a difference there.
I have a couple of fun stories about that.
Okay.
So it's the same deal here in Reading. Most doctors at the hospital are hospitalists that are on staff by the hospital, but because you have text and email access to your provider, there's this whole new level of basically having your doctor, like, in your pocket on your cell phone, right? So your family, yourself, if you're well enough in the hospital, can be texting and emailing your doctor while you're there. So one fun story. So we had a patient in the very early days, and we've been here for about 2 years, in the hospital, had been treated and was still there, and he was a relatively young man, and been in there for almost a week and was still there, and he said, he texted Dr. Jill and said, hey, I want to go home. And she was able to pull up his records, you know, because we have a release of information where she and our hospital has online records, so she could pull up and see what's going on. Why is he still there? And he's there because he's on a pain, you know, a pain drip, PCA. And she says to him, ask for oral pain meds and tell them you're ready to go home. And so she does, saves him a night in the hospital. Like, that's like literally exactly what the goal should be, right? Saving expenses, doing what's best for the patient. And then another kind of fun story. Patient was in the hospital. Again, Dr. Jill can see her records. They're texting. She's also visiting, of course, like Dr. Phil says, and sees that something is going on, sees that a patient is ends up in the emergency room and then goes home. And I'm an office manager, but I'm not medical. I can't even begin to tell you what the heck was going on with her, actually. She ended up getting back in the hospital a few days later, and Dr. Jill was like, why does she keep going back in? Why aren't they dealing with this while they're there? Called the local specialist and had him go and see her at the hospital and deal with it. So she got what she needed to get treated so that she didn't keep bouncing back and forth to the emergency room. So it's kind of amazing when you think about the way that the healthcare system defaults to work versus the way that this system can help actual people and save the system money.
Mary, just a couple of seconds. What's the general insurance level of the people who are using the DPC practice there?
It's about the same as what I would say Dr. Philip is saying. I probably have about 40% Medicare, about 30% private insurance, and the balance may be no insurance.
Okay, so a DPC, there's a lot to learn out there on the web if you want to do a direct primary care FAQ search. Dr. Philip Olshausen is in practice in Medford, has been a DPC practice for about 2 months. Dr. Jill Friesen in Redding has been doing this about 2 years. Mary Brace is her office manager. Thank you both for joining us today for an introductory to DPC.
Thank you.